Thank you. saw the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the saviour of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Garanga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against a rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Garanga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to attain the association of Lord Garanga, accompanied by all these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 17. Chaktva svatamam charanam bhujam hare. Bhajanna bhagvota patetato yadi. Yat prakvava pad brahma bhutamushyakim. Ko varta apto bhajatam svadharmata. Okay, what please repeat. Chaktva, having forsaken. Svadharmam, one's own occupational engagement. Charanam bhujam, the lotus feet. Hare, of Hari, the Lord. Bhajan, in the course of devotional service. Apakvaha, immature. Atha, for the matter of. Patet, fallen down. Tata, from that place. Yadi, if. Yatra, whereupon. Kva, what. Sorry, what sort of. Va, or used sarcastically. Abadram, unfavorable. Abut, shall happen. Amusha, of him. Kim, nothing. Kava arta, what interest. Aptaha, obtained. Abhajatam, of the non-devotees. Svaradharmata, being engaged in occupational service. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport. As far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, as well as it is well and good. But it so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the histories. Bharat Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in his next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chitraketu also fell down due to his offences at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there is a chance of falling down, because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue to serve in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamil is one of them. Ajamil, in his early life, was a devotee, but in his youth he fell down. Still, he was saved by the Lord at the end. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Om Ajnatimurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kurochi Vachalam Pangun Lagai Tigurim Yakripatamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, although fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So I thought I'd speak a little bit on this verse and purport today, and then talk a couple of stories about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, since it's his disappearance, his Tirubhav Mahamotsav today. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in the purport here how that generally when a man is very duty-bound by or to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to great philosophers, poets, scientists. So this duty that one should feel to all these personalities, it is almost lost in today's society. You know, in India, yeah, there are many children and families which still have this sense of duty to their family members. Like so many Indian students, they come over here to study, to become a responsible family man so they can get a nice job and earn lots of money to send home. And many Indians who work jobs to send money back to their families in Nepalese as well. So the sense of duty that one should have, it's it's actually a necessity that we feel this sense of being duty bound. But as we hear here, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that by surrendering to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one no longer becomes duty bound to any other person except the Supreme Lord. We all know the famous analogy of watering the root of the tree. All the twigs, the leaves and the branches, they become nourished. So when one takes to Krishna consciousness, everyone else becomes satisfied. You know, the forefathers, Prahlad Maharaj states in the seventh canto, Bhagavatam, that when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, 21 generations of his family previous to his birth and 21 generations of his family after his birth are liberated, free, going back home, back to Godhead. And so, and one becomes the philosophers, the poets and the scientists, they become satisfied because it is their duty to pass on knowledge. And so when one takes to Krishna consciousness, their desires have been fulfilled. You know, their mission is successful. They've made Krishna bhaktas. And then the demigods are satisfied because yajna is being performed. You know, isn't it we know Sankirtan Yaga? You know, where Indra is so happy, like the rains pour down. Isn't it? I remember hearing a nectar story Jnananda Maharaj wrote. Once how there had been a drought in one country or one city for many years, and the devotees they performed Harinam Sankirtan like in a sports stadium. Yeah, and then Indra was so happy that the rain fell. And this, so the demigods are satisfied. You know, I meet many people on the street, mostly Indians, actually all Indians, say that yes, you know, I am knowing Bhagavad Gita. You know, I know everything about Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, do your duty. You know, and they're right, Krishna does say do your duty. But they don't see they don't know the second half of the shloka. Like Krishna says, Kamani Vadi Karaste Ma Paleshukadachana Maha Ma Palahitrabhu Mata Sangasvakaramani, that you have the right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. And never perform never consider yourself the cause of the fruits of your action, and never be attached to not doing your duty. And so, yes, they are doing their duty very nicely, according to their family, to society, by becoming a cog in the economical machine. but they seem to be missing the point that surrendering the fruits of their activities to Krishna and not being attached to their fruits. And one automatically attains detachment from the fruits when coming to Krishna consciousness. You know, one becomes attached to the service, not to the fruits, the results of the service. Actually, it's essential that we understand this fact, that you know, the goal of life is devotional service. It's not the fruits that come from the service. You know, the fruits are up to Krishna. We should try our hardest. It's not that we say, oh, anyway, the results are up to Krishna, and you know, I just do, you know, I just perform my actions, you know, however I feel like. No, we should put 100% of our effort into performing our service. And and that way Krishna will take away this desire to either enjoy the fruits ourselves or be attached to the quantity of the results. So in coming to Krishna consciousness, our duty is transferred from trying to satisfy, you know, our relatives, our society, our nation, is transfers to becoming duty bound to the instructions of the spiritual master. And actually, this is how real love develops. When one becomes duty bound to following the instructions of the Guru, then actually that is the sign that true love is starting to develop. Love of Godhead is starting to develop. You know, and what is what is our main duty, you know, as a disciple? You know, we should all contemplate this. You know, that we know this knowledge has been coming down through parampara. Evam parampara pratam imam rajasyo vidu. You know, this knowledge, and it's been passed down from spiritual master to disciple. And we're disciples now. You know, so what is our duty? Our duty is a very great burden upon us. But it's a welcome burden. We have to pass on this knowledge to others. You know? Lord Chaitanya says, Yare deka tarekaha Krishna upadesh amara agara guru hanatare adesh. That one should become a guru. That whoever you meet, whoever you see, you instruct them about Krishna, and in this way become a guru and liberate everyone in the land. You know, so this is the duty of a disciple, to be able to carry the fruit and responsibly pass it on. And it's not easy to pass on this fruit without changing anything, because we're all coming to Krishna consciousness with certain anattas, you know, certain unwanted desires in the heart. So to actually pass on what Krishna says unchanged without our own selfish motives and to satisfy our sense gratification, you know, without speculating on this knowledge, is actually a great austerity. You know, it's an austerity of speech, to speak the absolute truth unchanged, and it's an austerity of the mind as well, to not speculate. You know, just how you know, if one wants to get a ripened mango from the top of a tree, right, one has to gently pass the mango down, you know, to the to the people at the underground. You can't just throw it, otherwise it will smash. And so similarly, we have to be very careful in passing on this fruit of the of Krishna consciousness, making sure that actually we're not changing anything that Srila Prabhupada has given us and our Guru has given us. And by passing on this knowledge, one actually this is where our real happiness is this is the process of achieving Krishna Prem, you know, by passing on this knowledge. We have the knowledge, so we take a bite and we pass it on. Actually, we don't even have to take a bite, we just touch it. You know, the effect is already there. And one can experience this within the service, like we have the marathon on at the moment. And by passing on this knowledge, one becomes very blissful. Just a quick nectar story. When Muchakunda and I, we were travelling in northern Victoria, we came to a place called Oyen. It's just below Mildura, south of Mildura. And we pulled up in the car to the campsite, and we got out of the car, and Muchakunda, he points over to the bowls club, and he goes, "Wow, look at the name of the bowls club." And I looked over, I couldn't believe my eyes. It said, "Oyen United, home of the mighty demons." So I thought, wow, we've really got our work cut out for us here. So, the next day we went on door to door. It's a really small town. So yeah, we just did mostly door to door the whole day. And I knocked on one door, and a lady answered, and I said, "Oh, yeah, we're traveling monks distributing books on yoga and meditation." And she goes, no, I'm a Christian." And she went to slam the door in my face. And just before she slammed the door, her daughter jumped up and said, "I'm not a Christian." And ran to the door and said, "What have you got?" And I showed her the book and she was looking at it, she's like, "Wow." And I explained to her, you know, it gets rid of stress, and you just ask for a dish, and she goes, "Yes." You know, she was holding a book to her chest. "I really want this book." And then she went and got a purse, and she pulled out, and she said, "Oh, I've only got 70 cents. And I can't buy this book." You know, and her mother, you know, seeing how happy she had been with the book and how depressed she was without the with only 70 cents, she said, "Don't worry, dear, I'll go and get you a donation." And she ran out to the car, and she came back in with $10 and gave it to me. And then and then the daughter was happy again. So it's funny how Lord Chaitanya, he forces people to engage in devotional service, even unwillingly. You know, this Christian lady, she didn't want to take a book only because of her daughter's happiness. And she was engaged in devotional service. And so, I just want to mention a couple of stories about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur now. As we know, Goswami Maharaj, he was called the Singha Guru, the Lion Guru, because of his cutting technique. In preaching, he was very powerful, and there were some certain smarter Brahmins who were claiming that the that one becomes a brahmana only by birthright and not so much by qualification. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he took it as his mission to defeat these smarter Brahmins and establish the fact, according to scripture, that actually it is by brahminical qualifications that one is known as a Brahmana, not by birthright. And so, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he would preach very fiercely against these smarter Brahmins. And he would push on certain points which were very very tender. You know, has anyone ever had acupressure? You know, so they, when they do acupressure, they put a lot of pressure on the points which hurt the most. You know, but actually it's you get the most benefit, you know, from having the, it's like having a massage, they're working a knot really hard. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, out of his compassion, he was preaching this way to these smarter brahmanas. But they couldn't see it as Thakur's mercy. They saw it as an act of malice, you know, against their preaching. So there was one big debate, and many thousands of people were there to hear this debate between the smarta brahmanas and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he defeated them, like totally smashed their bogus propaganda. And these smarter Brahmins, they were very disturbed by this, and they went to the police and they bribed the police, saying that you turn a blind eye and we will get someone to assassinate Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. You know, and when the policeman, he wanted to go and see Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur just to have some of his association, to see what he was like. And just by Goswami Maharaj's association, the policeman could see that actually this is a bona fide sadhu, that there's no way that I'm going to accept bribery to have a sadhu killed. No, so in that way, Goswami Maharaj's life was saved. That's right, after he defeated the smarta brahmanas at this debate, the people in the that were listening, they wanted to steal the dust from his lotus feet, and you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur didn't want anyone to touch his feet, you know. And but the crowd was starting to cause a riot because they wanted that dust, you know. And so the guards who were overseeing the debate, they grabbed Goswami Maharaj and they dunked his feet in a bucket of water, you know, and they distributed it. They forcibly grabbed him and dunked his feet just to pacify the crowd. You know, and they distributed that water at Charanamrita. Just another quick story about Goswami Maharaj, that Once he was talking to some philosophers and very great intellectuals, explaining to them about how the line on which the knowledge was coming down, he was explaining to them actually that this knowledge was coming down from Radharani to Lalita Devi and to does anyone know Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Siddha Purush, his Siddha, his eternal position? Kamala Manjari, yes. So he said that it's coming down through Lalita Devi, Kamala Manjari, and when he said Kamala Manjari, he began to manifest ecstatic symptoms. And he went into trance and he said, yes, our line is very exalted. And he repeated it over and over again. Our line is very, very exalted. Like this, and he stood up, he walked into a room, locked the door, and didn't come out for 3 days. No eating, no sleeping, no passing stool, nothing. And he was these personalities, when he was born, he showed all the symptoms of a Siddha Purush, of an Nitya Siddha, an eternally liberated person. And all the activities throughout his life, you know, very much show this in him. You know, memorizing Bhagavad Gita by the age of 8 years old, was it? Memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita. There's his, was it men's celibacy club, university? You know, he was the only one that stuck it out the whole way. you know, there's his chanting 1 billion names of the Maha Mantra. You know, took him 12 years, right? And then the Panchatattva personally came to him, told him to stop and go and preach. There's so many other wonderful stories, but our time is up. So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai, Gaura Premanand ki jai.